Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome to the show where we do not cough. Tony will get his P45 and the name above the door proudly says Adio Uwak Sport. And our music's better. On a massive night for international football, our producer has found us a cricketer to talk to. But what a cricketer. It's the return of Notts cricketing legend. Yes, Paul Johnson's in the studio tonight. And I've been waiting for this one for a long time as we get his opinion on Ben Stokes, Alex Hales, the England Ashes squad, Nottinghamshire, Chris Reid and local cricket. Yes, we could still be here till 11 o'clock. And if we get time, we're going to look at what's happened last weekend and look forward to what's happening this weekend in the wacky world of Newark Sport. And who am I kidding? That's not going to happen. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony McSmith, and this is Radio Newark Sport. Tonight's the night where we qualify for the World Cup finals, he says. He's talking about Scotland. They've even booked the flights over to Russia. They've got a cheap flight with Monarch. Good evening, Mr. Smith.
Hello.
Yeah, tonight's the night we qualify. No, we'll forget all that because you won't qualify. You just won't.
We'll beat Slovakia and then we beat Slovenia on Sunday. And then we get an easy team in the qualifiers. Job done.
Yeah. That's what's called a dream world. It really is. I'm not going to mess about talking to you tonight because...
If Berwick Rangers can get...
Just talk into the mic, not next to it.
If Berwick Rangers can get double points at this stage of the season, anything can happen.
Yeah, and anything's going to happen now because we're going to play the top local stories. I'm rushing about tonight because I want to hear what Jono's got to say. A busy weekend for our runners with the Syston 10K and the Lincoln Half Marathon taking centre stage. Jan Bailey was first local home at Lincoln in a time of 1:23. Beverly Hancock and their dog Magic went to Osberton for the Canicross while Jason Priest ran the Cardiff Half on behalf of his charity, the Combat Services. Steve and Sue Needham were on their travels again. This time they went to Jersey for the Islands Marathon. And after that, the Park Run and the last Airfield Anarchy of the season. You see what I mean about it being a busy weekend? And Collingham became the second of our local sides to bow out the Notts Senior Cup by going down to a single goal at Hucknall Town. That just leaves us with Flowserve and Newark Town to fly the flag. It's not even the first Saturday.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Okay, well it's only, what is it, 7 minutes past seven. This is record timing, but there's that much to get in. I want to hear exactly what he's got to say. This is the night we've both been waiting for, Tony, isn't it?
Well, you have, yeah.
I've. Paul, welcome back once again to Radio Newark Sport.
Thank you very much indeed.
Obviously, you know why you're here, because we're sort of getting towards the middle of October and everybody's talking about cricket still.
There's a big few months coming up, I think.
So, I'm going to start you right at the beginning, right at the top, with your opinion on... What is Ben Stokes up to? What has he done?
He's made one massive mistake in an evening out that has obviously got out of hand. And from having the world very firmly in the palm of his hand to it, probably the palm of his hand waving goodbye to it in a very short space of time. And... regardless of what happened, how it happened, I think most people have seen the videos and bits and pieces, and unfortunately, I think he's certainly going to be struggling to make the plane over to Australia, and you know, potentially could be seeing himself in a far different position than certainly where he wanted to be this winter.
Taking it as two separate entities here, the fact that the two of them was out at 2:30 in the morning in the middle of a one-day series, would the England management know of this, or was, for a start, they was going completely against what would have been team orders?
From what I can gather, that the Baylis Farbrace management setup is very much in a position of trust to the players. They, you know, they don't hand out curfews or what should or shouldn't be done. They give them, I suppose, in this case, enough rope to hang themselves with. But you know, at the same time, you know, they're grown up, they're adults. They are in the limelight, and in this day and age, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can get away with. You know, if that incident hadn't have happened, and they'd have tootled back to their team hotel, and they'd have been given leeway of a day or two's grace in terms of practice and travel, etc., then, you know, this obviously wouldn't be anywhere near sort of the headlines as it is at the minute. You know, I don't necessarily think it's the fact that they were out drinking at 2:30 in the morning. I think it was the fact of the sort of the predicament and the sort of the you know, it's out there, isn't it? And as soon as anything happens, regardless of what it is, everybody now carries a phone and a video camera around with them in their pocket. And unfortunately, you never see the good things that happen, but you certainly see the bad things, and this is a very bad one.
How did you, when you was in your pomp cricketing, how did it work in those days? I would probably suggest, I mean, I've seen you at Trentbridge afterwards, you're sticking a group.
Well, you know, you know, at times, you know, in three-day cricket, four-day cricket, you know, you're away, and you knew... You were fairly careful in the middle of games, but you knew if it was a batting day or a bowling day. And unfortunately for someone like Ben Stokes or whoever it was, they're an all-rounder, so every day is a batting day or a bowling day. But in our circumstances, our motto was deny everything, because not everyone had a phone and a video camera in the pocket. You know, very rarely... did you get caught out unless you trip yourself up horribly? And, you know, these guys have tripped themselves up horribly. You know, it's on CCTV, it's on people's phones. You know, we could pretty much get away with most things unless, you know, we were relatively unlucky. But, you know, times and situations move on, technology moves on. And responsibility, I think, at the same time moves on with it, because, you know, you are talking about two role models, not only for their county but for their country, and probably internationally as well. You know, they're two very well-known cricketers throughout world cricket, not only in Durham, not only in Nottinghamshire, and as I say, throughout the UK, but, you know, internationally as well.
And at 2:30 in the morning, there's always going to be somebody who wants to pop at you.
Well, it was a little bit worse than that, I think, wasn't it? You know, when, you know, I think most people could handle someone pushing you or even swinging a punch at you. But when someone threatens to glass you or bottle you, you know, you do react probably far greater than what you would under the circumstances of someone verbally or physically just, you know, throwing a punch or... drunkenly having a bit of banter, if you like to say banter, or abusing you in whatever way. But you know, when you are face to face with a beer bottle, and you know someone is threatening to take it in your direction, then you know you do at times have to take things into your own hands, shall we say. But the way it was done and how it was perceived to have been done seems a little bit excessive, but in situations on a night out in Newark or Nottingham or wherever, I think if most Joe Publics would be threatened with a glass or a bottle, you know, the reaction would be fairly similar. And you're not condoning it, but at the same time, I think a lot of people can actually understand it. Yes, it was 2:30 in the morning. Yes, there'd been probably a lot of alcohol poured down a lot of throats, and it was just, at the end of the day, it's just very sad and not something that you want to see on any city street. And when it hurt, it gets put into sort of the cold light of day. Those boys have gone from being heroes to zeros very quickly in a lot of people's eyes.
What's your gut feeling? Where this is going?
Well, I think that in Alex's case, he hasn't necessarily been charged with anything yet. It depends on how that develops for him. That's a little bit more low key. There's other stuff that is kicking off, I believe, around Alex, but he'll be keeping his head down and keeping his fingers crossed and hoping that his legal team and whatever can do whatever they can do. In terms of Ben Stokes, who's probably a lot more higher profile, England vice captain, going on Ashes tour, multi-million pound IPL contracts dangled over him and stuff. It looks a little bit more serious for him. And my gut feeling is that we'll be having a new vice captain, and probably someone will be very shortly added to the squad.
What would the Australians have done?
What would they have done?
Would they have sort of said, right, he's a cricketer, we can't do without, so we're going to brush over this? Or what do they do with the likes of Warner and them sort of people who seem to get themselves into trouble, always seem to come back?
At the end of the day, I think that, if it was something as serious as this, whether it's the England and Wales Cricket Board or whether it was the Australian authorities, cricket authorities, they wouldn't have any say in it whatsoever, because, this is something that is a legal and police matter, and they're going to go about their work as they would probably in any country that something of this serious nature sort of kicks off. Then you can't just brush it under the carpet. There are going to be court cases, there are going to be things to answer, and the police are not going to rush that through. So Ben Stokes or Alex Hales or whatever can carry on in there. Yeah. And not only that, if criminal charges are pressed and they are released, I wouldn't have thought that Australia as a country would possibly be even accepting of his visa.
Go on, you can have your comment. We've done it once about yet, yeah.
I just think the only good thing that came out of it was it was a blooming good punch. But it's just tragic, really. I mean, like, sort of people have been putting Alex Hales forward for an England place for ages, saying that it'd be ideal, even in the Test side, say at number 5, and he's just mucked his ticket for one drunken night out. It's just,
well, he wasn't there, he was there on the night, but he wasn't there on the trip. The teams were pretty much announced, yeah, and done and dusted. He wasn't involved in that. He's certainly been involved in the one day series and the 2020 series after. Yeah. In terms of their stock now, it's right down at the bottom, and it'd be very interesting, without jumping the gun too much, if this is as serious as what we potentially think it is, whether, certainly in terms of the pair of them, in terms of potential earnings in the IPL and 2020s around the world, whether the franchises, etc., will be dealing in individuals who have been found guilty, down the line, or hopefully mud doesn't stick if they're found innocent, but they have certainly jeopardised their future career earnings and selections through a few minutes of absolute craziness.
But I didn't realise until
at the time, I was shocked that Ben Stokes would do something like that. And then I saw an in-depth article in the Daily Telegraph sports section the following day, and it gave his rap sheet, and he's got plenty of previous in incidents like that. And
he's a fiery individual, you know. Right. You see it on the field, and when he crosses that white line, you wouldn't want to take that feistiness out of him, because you know, you'd lose a high percentage of what he does. You know, he is controversial, he is in your face, he is dynamic. And at the same time, he's a redhead who's got a temper on him. You know, Alex is somewhat different. You know, he enjoys a night out. He enjoys living his life. He's a single lad. And, you know there are times and places. And, you know, this was probably not necessarily the wrong time. It was probably past bedtime, but they'd have probably been given leeway to be out, because I believe that the whole of the England team, or a high percentage of them, were in the same venue earlier in the evening, and they all dispersed and went back. But they were there, or a number of them were there. And ultimately, you know, wrong place, yeah. You know, you've got some idiot who is probably as guilty as they are by instigating the situation, waving a bottle around and threatening to do things to people who, whether he'd have done those to other less noticeable faces during the evening, or whether it was targeted, you know, we won't know. And until all that comes out, it's very difficult. All we can say is that it's very unsavoury, and something that, you know, I'm sure that, you know, obviously, if they'd have had the time again, they'd have, you know, sort of had a word and took off and not got involved in this in any way, shape, or form.
Coming up next, we've got Paul's views on the England Ashes squad that Freddie Flintoff.
It's a lot weaker now.
That Freddie Flintoff reckons is one of the best.
It was.
Okay, it is the Ashes, and there's nothing better in cricket than beating Australia. So we're going to go out there with what John has just told us is probably going to be a weaker team than we first thought. Overall, before I sort of go through them, pretty much the team that the only choice of the 16?
No, you know, I think there's one or two absolute maverick wildcards in there. Certainly two or three that, you know, amazed me when I saw the names on the list. And, you know, one or two there probably that have been given, you know, certainly more than one chance, and can consider themselves very, very lucky to be on the big bird out there.
Okay, so let's just go through this list and just get a quick opinion.
Yep.
Joe Root, how's his captaincy gone?
I think he's fine. You know, I've got no, you know, absolutely, you know, no problem there whatsoever. You know, he's got, you know, he's very early on in his tenure, but, you know, he's got good men around him that have got, you know, vast knowledge and experience that will be fine with him on that. You know, he's our best player, and you know, he is widely regarded as being the best man for the job, full stop. I don't think there's any question marks there at all.
Moeen Ali,
yeah,
he's had a good summer, hasn't
nailed
he?
Nailed on. Yeah. You know, he's improving all the time. He's improved all the time. You know, this, you know, I don't think they did him any favours, you know, talking him down, you know, 12 months or so ago, saying he's not the number one spinner, you know, he's not this, he's not that. What he is developed into a world-class test all-rounder, and someone who can adapt to all situations. He can float up and down the order, who's, you know, off-spin bowling is becoming more and more feared. You know, off-spin and soft-spinning, you know, he's got good variations, and he's, you know, hopefully, you know, maturing more and more as he goes on.
Jimmy Anderson, does Australia, will it still suit him at 35?
Oh, yeah, you know, he's world class. You know, he's, call it, you know, he's different gravy. He's, you know, he's up there with the best. You know, he's breaking records. And, you know, when you've taken as many test wickets as he has, you know, you can rock up against any world class international batting lineup, or even world 11, and they'll treat him with the utmost respect.
What do you think about him having an end named after him at Old Trafford while he's still playing?
I think, you know, it's absolutely fine. It's a justifiable reward for what he's done for England and done for Lancashire. You know, why should you have to die and and have something named after you? After you can take no pride in it whatsoever. You know, the fact that he comes on and bowls from his end is, you know, it must boost him no end. And I think it's fully deserved. And I think, you know, it's a good way to go about things. You know, let people enjoy them while they can. And at times when you've done something renowned as he has, that let him enjoy it while he still is playing and can take pride in that as well.
Very good answer.
Another nailed on one, Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah, you know again, can keep wicket, probably will keep wicket, can bat anywhere from one to six, and do a job wherever you stick him. Nailed on, absolutely no problem.
The next one must have pleased you immensely, Jake Ball.
Yeah. You know, I'm really pleased for Jake. I was a little bit worried for him, a little bit concerned that he picked up an injury, and Roland Jones and one or two came in and did very well. And I just hoped, you know, against all hope, that he would be overlooked for another. And I'm really pleased because, you know, not only is it nice to have a local lad and a Nottinghamshire lad on the trip. You know, I think that, you know, he will do well out there, and I think that he will create problems as long as he's given the opportunity. And I probably think that over the past year or two, he has been the easy option to actually leave out. So hopefully he'll force his way in. Hopefully he'll do well and kick on. And
Will the hard pitches suit him?
Yeah, you know, I think he'll bowl well out there. You know, he probably is as near to, you know, it's a big tag to carry around, and I'm not likening him to him to a vast degree, but probably he does similar work to what Glenn McGrath used to do for Australia. He'll stand the ball up in good areas and be quick enough that if anybody makes a mistake, that he'll take advantage of. So hopefully Jake will do well.
Gary Balance.
Yeah, not for me. he's one there that to me has been given one, if not too many chances, and I just can't see it. You know, I just can't see, you know, if you had a tick list against him, you know, he would be nowhere near for me. You know, obviously, you know, he's done okay for Yorkshire this year. He obviously is what Farbrace and Bayliss are looking for, and, you know, to me, this is last chance saloon big time for him, because I already thought that he'd been in that bar and fell off the stool. So, you know, he's a lucky boy, in my opinion, to be on the flight.
Stuart Broad and Alistair Cook, well, that's gimme.
Yeah, it's the Jimmy Anderson one. You know, it's, you know, there's about five or six there that you know, prerequisite, just, you know, give them a first-class ticket and off they go.
Now getting into the world of the unknown, as far as I'm concerned, this is where you're going to come into your own. Mason Crane of Hampshire.
Yeah, he's done really well. You know, it's a big call because, you know, I feel really sorry for Adil Rashid. I really do. That, you know, we've spent a lot of time and effort with him, and to me he's getting better. Whether, you know, I'm not seeing it from the outside anymore in terms of his temperament perhaps, or how many bad balls he bowls, but what he does bowl is he bowls wicket taking deliveries, and Mason Crane bowls wicket-taking deliveries.
He's a 20-year-old leg spinner from Hampshire.
Yeah, that's why I'm comparing him like for like with Rashid. To me, it's a huge tour to go on. If we were going to, I don't know, Bangladesh and the UEA or UAE or wherever, subcontinent-wise, so on and so forth, then, you know, take him along as a third spinner perhaps, but, you know, to chuck him in there, you know, he's a huge gamble. They must obviously think a lot of him, and I haven't seen enough of him to make that judgment call. I just think that, you know, Rashid, to me, would have been the one as a make or break time. And, you know, I like Rashid a lot. You know, he offers, you know, he's a decent fielder. He can bat 7-8, even though at times he's batted lower than that for England. And you know, he adds to everything that you'd want him to do. Yeah, he goes for probably too many four balls, but he bowls leg spin, that's what they do.
It's hell of a 30 to be thrown into, isn't it? Talking about throwing into the lions.
Yeah, good luck to the young man. Yeah. Hopefully he does well. I haven't seen a vast amount of him, but for me, he wouldn't have been there.
Ben Foulkes is the reserve wicketkeeper. He's Surrey's wicketkeeper.
Hmm.
We're going to talk Chris Reid in a few minutes, somebody who never did get a chance. Obviously, he's given him a chance.
Well, yeah, you know, he fits into that all-rounders bill, as does Johnny Bairstow, as does Joss Butler, as does Chris Reid, as does James Foster, and, you know, you peel them off. Very rare now do you get a wicketkeeper that can't hold the bat, and they think very highly of Foulkes. And to be fair, Mick, I've only seen him a couple of times, and, you know, I haven't seen him very much recently, so... I know he was being talked about. I've listened to conversations where his name has cropped up, and the people who are still in the game who know their stuff speak very highly of him. So, you know, it's hard for me to judge him, but, you know, he will be the number two keeper. But he could play purely as a batter if called upon.
I'm probably going to get even the name wrong here. David Malan of Middlesex?
David Malan, yeah. To me... probably more of a one-day cricketer than a test match cricketer who's come in, and he's done okay. I think that you know, him and Wesley were vying big time for a position. Left-hander, free-flowing, slightly impetuous. I think he'll get tested out big time in Australia. And given probably opportunity just on the back of just about doing enough this summer.
Craig Overton, fast bowler, 6'5", coming down from a great height. Is that the reason?
Big shout. They seem to like tall bowlers and exploit the bounce and a little bit of pace. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see again. You don't like to say on an Ashes tour he's been taken along for experience. You know, he must have something there to earn his place on it. But, you know, you're hoping above all hope that... You know, the big two or three big seamers stay as fit as they possibly can, and you know, he must be pretty good to be on the trip, and he obviously is young enough to bowl lots of overs in the nets at the batsman.
Mark Stoneman and James Vince have been on the edge, they've been in, they've been out.
Yeah, Stoneman would have been on the trip for me. He would have been in from the start of the summer. For me, in place of Keaton Jennings, who I just think is, you know, bang average, to be fair, at that level.
You and KP agree on something.
Well, exactly. We do agree on a few things.
That stumped him a bit, hasn't it?
But, I think that, he deserves his place out there. I think he'll do okay. Hopefully, he's one of those... One of those batters, if you can get him past 20 or 30, then it, you know, it's usually a stick of dynamite to get him out. Hopefully he can find himself in a position to get to 20 or 30 and then build on it from there. But, you know, even he's the wrong side of 30, he can play. He's made a good move from Durham to Surrey and done exceptionally well in the first division on healthier tracks than Chesley Street, and hopefully he does well. I'm backing him. Vince, very traditional, very classical in what he does. Question mark a little bit over his temperament, but I think that of the ones that we've talked about, I'm not too perturbed with his selection at all. I think he potentially can go on and forge a career for himself at that level.
And Chris Woakes, who is probably another...
Yeah, nailed on. Yeah. You know, he's one who would probably start for me, in that three or four-man seam department. There'll be, whether they play three or four, it'd be very interesting. But, no, he certainly deserves his place. He's a very good all-rounder.
So can they win the Ashes?
Of course they can. I think we'll need a bit of luck. I think we'll need things to go our way. I think... Players will have to play as well as we know they can at the top end. Our talisman batsmen need to score runs, and the ones who are given the opportunity need to take that opportunity and really flourish. But I think it will be a case of what bowling side bowls the best against what I see as vulnerable batting on both sides. So whoever scores the most runs, I think the bowlers will look after their end of it. It's just the batting side for me that just looks at times a little bit shaky, and you know, obviously, potentially with the loss of Stokes in there, you know, that they are big boots to fill.
Two down, two to come. National headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And as we said at the top of the show, it's a huge night for the home nations for World Cup qualifying tonight. England will reach Russia if they beat Slovenia at Wembley. Scotland realistically need to beat Slovakia at Hampden tonight to keep their hopes of qualification alive. No chance. Gordon Strachan's side are 1 point off tonight's opponents, who are second. And second could be good enough, but even that is not guaranteed. Northern Ireland already have second, but they could win their group. All they've got to do is beat Germany and help Germany lose on the last match of the tournament as well. Germany have never lost an away World Cup qualifying match ever. A hell of an achievement, isn't it?
Good stuff.
Zach Hardacre will miss the biggest game in Castleford's rugby league history after being dropped for disciplinary reasons. The England fullback's unavailability for the Super League Grand Final with Leeds on Saturday due to what the Tigers described as a breach of club rules. Who's bothered? It's not even proper rugby.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Unless you've got a cloth cap and take a whippet with you, you don't understand it. It's not proper rugby.
Well, it is a far superior form of the game because they have such a thing called passing rather than just lump it 60 yards down the field to each other.
All they have to do is count to six and give it to the opposition. It's not proper rugby.
Sounds like cricket, counting to six.
Yeah, some umpires can't do that.
Moving on.
Right, two subjects down. At least two more to go. Not sure which way to do this. Meeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's talk Nottinghamshire this season. Chris Reed's coming up next, but the county this season. Promotion was the very, very least. And they very nearly blew it. In fact, I saw a tweet from you on the last day saying that it's looking like they are going to blow it.
Well, you know, two days into that last game, and it looked remote, didn't it? You know, I think that Leicestershire were rolling over and Notts were struggling like mad to make the follow-on, and probably if they didn't get anywhere near the follow-on, they could have easily have succumbed and struggled to draw the game. You know, a wonderful partnership between Joe Root and the man that we're going to talk about at some stage. Chris Reed really saved the season in some ways because they, you know, with probably three or four games of the season to go, they looked absolutely nailed on to not only to get promoted but to win the championship, the second division championship, and things conspired, you know, around them to make it very, very difficult in the end. But they got over the line. I was very, very pleased for them. They did the double, which we did in 1987, 30 years ago. So there's a little bit of symmetry in that. 30 years down the line, they do the double. I was relatively pleased in some ways, actually, that they did get promoted but not win it. Else they'd have done the treble, which we didn't do. We very nearly did. We came second in the Sunday League in the year that we did the double. We should have done the treble and didn't. They should have done the treble and didn't. So there's a certain symmetry in it. I always thought that this year they should go straight back up. I think it was an absolutely fabulous effort that they won the 2020 and the London Cup or whatever it's called. So, you know, to do those two up front and then back it up with promotion was exceptional. I expected them to go back up with the squad that they started the season. Things got depleted somewhat down the back end, which really hamstrung them in terms of a charge for promotion. But, you know, I think that this year was a bonus to win those other two. But, you know, next year's the big test.
That was horrific. To think that 1987 is 30 years ago.
I know.
Wow. That hurts.
Overall, I mean, not should never have been in Division 2.
No.
To start with. But I look at the counties.
I've seen a lot of cricket this year, more so than previous years. I do quite a bit of commentary online. And, you know, I've seen some of the teams come to Trent Bridge. And, you know, they've, especially early on in the season when Notts were blessed with having Broad, Patterson around. And they just blew them away. You know, it was like watching probably a Notts Premier League team or a good Notts Premier League team playing against Noah Carr and
I like you.
Then it got battered.
You know, it just looked as though the golfing class was enormous. And they did look at times... club players playing against professionals in a benefit game per se, and for them to nearly trip up at the end is inconceivable. Fortunately, they got over, but the gulf between the two squads, certainly at the start of the season when Notts had all the superheroes playing, was huge. And whether they're in Division 2 or Division 1, there's teams that would have struggled to match them in that early season form.
Do you worry for county cricket? I mean, I see Leicestershire's gone for another season without winning a match. Durham, from all their problems 12 months ago, they now seem to be losing players hand over fist.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you worry for county cricket?
I do to a certain degree. I think the last time I was in the studio, I worried about club cricket. But certainly, in terms of how things are going, You could start losing one or two teams. The second division is probably regarded now purely as a feeder league for players to move upwards and onwards. You know, there's very little sort of loyalty now in terms of, I was lucky. You know, back in the day there weren't two divisions and there was, no decision for me other than to stay at Notts. I didn't want to play anywhere else. I nearly went. You know, it was out of my hands. I didn't want to go. I felt that I was being pushed out, but things sorted themselves out and I didn't have that decision to make. Nowadays, with international recognition, not necessarily always relying on the fact that you do play at the highest level, but with the bigger and bigger gulf in quality now between Division 1 and Division 2, for you to seriously... be taken sort of seriously again. You have to score your runs and take your wickets in Division 1, really. So you are left with a decision as a good young player that's coming through the system. When is the time to jump? And usually that is when one of the big boys come in hunting.
Which is why the Durham lads come to Notts and another one's gone to...
Yeah, I think Durham is a little bit different as well. The fact that financially they're struggling like mad and that they've had sanctions taken upon them previously. And, you've seen someone like Paul Collingwood who stayed in there and just seen that Will Smith, ex-Durham and Notts, and Hampshire has gone back to Durham. So, they're trying... To maintain as high a standard as they possibly can, but the lure of playing Division 1 cricket for the likes of probably someone like a Coughlin and Jennings and one or two others, Onions, I never thought Bunny Onions would ever move in his career. I thought he was an absolute homer, and he's tootled across now to Lancashire, and it just goes to show that even at his stage in his career, he wants to play and test himself at the highest level. And when clubs can call in, and they've got the money to offer contracts that probably double someone's wage for a short period of time, they're going to take it.
Just how good is Chris Reid, and why didn't he get a chance with England? And how good has he been for Nottingham? There you are, lots of questions. I'll leave it to you.
Well, you know, England's loss is Notts' gain, massively. You know, what happened to him at a young age, being picked up in a Duncan Fletcher team and taken away to South Africa and coming back. And you're always at that tender age, as he was when he first made his Test match debut as a wicketkeeper. It's gonna have highs and it's gonna have lows, and I think that the pressure and stuff was heaped upon him. I don't think necessarily that Duncan Fletcher was a massive fan, and he wanted probably someone a little bit more, or singing or dancing, if you like, who you know. I've played the whole of my career with a guy called Bruce French, who never said boo to a goose, but whose pads stayed white from April through to the end of September, because his glove work and his footwork were that good. He didn't need to dive, and you know, he was absolutely phenomenal. And when he retired, everyone, you know, was in pieces, because we never thought we would get anybody as good. And you know, Chris Scott was up there. You know, Scotty was a very, very good keeper. Local lad as well, so that, you know, I popped him up a few more percent on the back of that as well. But Wayne Noon came in and didn't have the impact that everyone thought, and then this young kid came from Paignton via Gloucester, and he was bought in by Alan Ormerod, and everyone thought, well, we've heard a bit about him, but we don't know how good he is. Well, I'll tell you, he's as good as I've ever seen. You know, he's up there, up until probably 6 years ago. If you'd have asked me to name my all-time Notts team, it would have had Bruce French in it. Not anymore. You know, I love Bruce to bits, but Reedy has taken that mantle now. And, you know, when he drops a ball, everyone gasps. You know, at times you go to certain counties and when their keeper catches it, they gasp. you know, he's exceptional. You know, I can't put enough praise you know, on him. He is world class, and if he'd have been playing probably in any other country, he'd have played 60, 80 plus test matches. And as I say, what's England's loss has been Notts' gain. He's been phenomenal.
And he's certainly not for the first time dug him out of a big hole at the end of the season.
I saw a tweet, and I think it was from a local lad, Stephen Musgrove, who's an agent. Now works for a company called Stellar, I believe, who look after a lot of international sportsmen, cricketers, etc. And he said, congratulations, Chris, on your final 100 for Nottinghamshire. I think that something like 87% of your runs scored for Notts have, when they've been in, I'll not use his actual words, but shall we say deep doo-doos. and he just has this remarkable quality that if things are going well, he might not score. But when, you know, the chips are down and you need an innings, whether it's a 30 to win a game and dig them out of a hole, whether it's a long-term 60, 80, 100, you know, he very rarely fails you. And he's got this uncanny knack of having a very, very big shovel and getting, you know, and a very long rope at times and getting people out of holes.
He's going to Uppingham School?
Yeah, director of cricket at Uppingham. You know, it's a nice job for him. He's got two young kids, and I'm sure his school fees will be looked after. could certainly, you know, as fit as he is, and, you know, as good as he still is, scoring a 100 in his last game. I'm not jealous, I'm envious of him doing that. You know, just goes to show he could have probably have stayed on, certainly for one or two more years without doubt, but he felt that the time was right. And you know, it was a pretty much a fairy tale for him, wasn't it? This season, you know, finishing off with 2 1-day trophy wins, and you know, even though he probably wasn't a part of the 2020, he was in his contributions as one of the coaches and mentors in that dressing room throughout that period of time. And finishing off with a getting Notts back into the first division. I'm really pleased for him. He's a lovely fella, and you know, someone that I would want to take into the trenches with me. And you know, if there was a hand grenade coming over from the other side, he'd certainly catch it.
Who's the new keeper then?
I think that Tom Moores will probably get the job. I think that Tom Moores there's Tom Moores and I think they're both Toms, Keast, that they've got there, one slightly older than the other. I regard Keast as the best glove man. I think he's phenomenal. I'm not going to say he could be the next Chris Reid, but he could be very, very good. Tom Moores for me is a manufactured wicketkeeper who's a batsman. He will improve. He's got to improve with his glove work. His batting, he's got to improve there as well, because he is only young, but he's probably the heir apparent. He's probably got the gloves at the start of the season, but the other young lad who's a Lincolnshire lad who's come through the Notts system, we'll push him hard. And at times, it's a demanding job, keeping wicket in all formats, whether Tom Moores at times, he's stood down for the odd game in Championship cricket, and the other lad Keast is brought through, then I don't see that there's going to be a problem with that, and hopefully those two will be the future of Notts wicket keepers for the next 10-15 years or however long it is. I really hope that they don't bring a wicket keeper in and block those two off.
Exactly. Just to prove we are live, Northern Ireland 0, Germany 1. 3 minutes. I think they've got it all against them, the Irish, tonight. On the plus side, though, the Jocks haven't conceded in 5 minutes.
Declare, really. Declare.
They're doing
cash
well.
Out.
Okay, we've talked the national team, we've talked the county team. It's been a hard cricketing season for Paul Johnson, though, as well.
I think that the two of the three clubs closest to my heart have been relegated. I think we had a bit of a hand in Balderton's as well, which was a shame. But it was a tough year at Welbeck. Things transpired and worked against us. We shot ourselves in the foot quite a few times as well. But overall, it probably says a lot about where the club are, that they've had back-to-back relegations. I thought I was a genius getting them promoted just before Christmas through being sort of elected back into the league through Clifton falling on the sword. but I wasn't that much of a genius because I didn't keep them up when the season started. So, it was tough. As I say, it says probably where the club are at the minute in terms of quality and where we need to rebuild to get ourselves back into the Premier League. So back-to-back relegation say a lot, and it's my job now to give them a little bit more stability and to try and bring a few of their local junior players through, probably wheedle out a few of the older players. Certainly, the standard of fielding this year throughout the whole league was pretty abysmal, and we were probably at the top of the abysmal table in terms of our fielding and agility and stuff. So it will be a wheedling out process in terms of trying over the next year or two to get a far younger squad, something that is a little bit more sustainable for a period of time, and to try and add a little bit more quality and give them a little bit more structure and discipline into the way that they go about their work. So that was, the Welbeck side of things. Our second team did relatively well. Our third team got promoted, and our fourth team, Saturday fourth team, are starting to develop the younger ones coming through. So next year we start in, I'm not sure how the Bassett Law works now, but the Bassett Law 1-2-3 is we'll have a team in Division 1, 2 and 3, so that'll give us a little bit more options in terms of where players play, because I think the step from Bassett Law 2 into the Premier League was very high, and one that not a lot of our players could comfortably comfortably handle. So it was difficult all round, but you know, we've got to cut our cloth now and crack on and perform a little bit better next year.
Balderton, with four matches left, there was a 30-point cushion, and it just disappeared.
Yeah, it can do. You know, there's always quirks at the back end of cricket seasons, and unfortunately, Balderton were on the back end of one. And if we'd have performed a little bit better at Welbeck and forced Attenborough down, then Balderton would have maintained their position in the league. As much as I'd have liked, for Welbeck not to get relegated, you know, probably would have been as pleased for Balderton to stay in their division. But, you know, again, it probably just goes to show where Balderton are, that, you know, every club will find a level that they're comfortable at. And, you know, this year, you know, they've struggled. Welbeck have struggled. And a lot of other clubs, to be fair, have struggled. Not everyone has obviously been relegated. But, you know, the quality and the standard of play that I've seen around the place this season, you know, it is slipping quite radically. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they can regroup as I want Welbeck to and push back stronger.
Yeah, we really hope that. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure. Tony and I have just sat back and let it tear for the last 55 minutes, but we've really enjoyed it. And if anybody...
We've basically had a night off, haven't we?
We have. It's been lovely. It will be podcast. It'll be on the podcast on the website inside 2 or 3 days. Anybody wants to listen to it all, if you miss some of it, just I implore you, have a listen to it. Somebody who knows his sport inside out and his thoughts and his opinions tonight. Very valued, Paul. Thank you so much. Pleasure. We will have you back again very soon, because we still haven't done the best Notts team and the best England team. We've got that one to do, but there's that much going off in the world of cricket tonight. We had to have you on all those subjects.
Cheers, guys.
But you can come back again this weekend, says he, taking a deep breath. Friday night, it's the Rugby Club Colts at home to Mellish under the lights. 7:45 kickoff, Kelham Road. And don't forget, it's the Grove Squash Club's 24-hour Squashathon starting at 6 p.m. And they want you to go down there and cheer them on. Saturday, the Dave Lewis Challenge. Rob Orgill told us all about that. It's mixed between orienteering and running. Cake. And more cake, apparently. So I'm going out to Cornton to find the Orgill cake stall on Saturday. Hockey, the men start their season against Ashby, and the ladies are at home with a midday kickoff against Market Harborough. And of course, now Lynn's there, and Paskey's back, and Becky Warner. The youngsters have come on. Everybody's expecting great things from the hockey ladies. Everybody's also expecting great things from the Upflow Surf Football Club. And they play in the Notts Senior Cup. First round against Dunkirk. Step 7 against Step 6. Biggest test of the season. Make no bones about it. 2:30 at Lowfields. Newark Town are also in the first round of the Notts Senior Club, and they go to the Notts Senior League side. They go to Awsworth. Tell you a story about that if you had more time, but I haven't. Rugby on Saturday afternoon. Newark are at home in the Rugby Union Shield. They're playing Stuarts and Lloyds from Corby. It's the Notts Schools Cross Country. And in the evening, Bailey Sugden's fighting at the Mayor's Leisure Centre on the Road to Glory. And on to Sunday, Flo Lisherman, our cyclist who came in a couple of weeks ago, she's at the National Cyclocross meeting at Derby. Anyway, she's there, so we wish her the best of luck. And from the Newark Athletic Club, it's the Sports Hall League on Sunday as well. That's what you call a busy weekend of sport. I'm going to be out and about. Tony's probably going camping or to Skeggy, but whatever.
I'll be in the floor surf dugout.
And we'll be back on Monday to tell you all about what happened in another wonderful week. But for now, bye-bye.